They gave me a silver chain and called it faith. Said it meant I was chosen. But that chain, cold against my skin, felt more like a leash. I wasn't a disciple anymore. I was a cog, a spy, a silent weapon. I watched friends disappear, experiments expand, and the doctrine twist tighter around our necks. And still, I stayed, because belief isn't always about truth. Sometimes it's about survival. And sometimes it's about fear of what you'll become if you let go. If you haven't already, make sure to follow us and tap the notification bell. We drop new content every day. Stay tuned so you never miss a story.
Chapter 3. The Chain of Belief. Belief doesn't arrive fully formed. It accumulates, one compromise, one silence, one betrayal of your former self at a time. By the time I participated in my third trial, I had learned not to flinch, not to question, not to think. Thinking was a relic of the old world, the one I had buried along with Haney. In its place was something leaner, hungrier, a faith shaped not by scriptures, but by submission. The dormitories grew quieter after each phase. Those who once whispered doubts at night now sat in perfect stillness, their eyes reflecting a kind of dead serenity I couldn't name. Some were reassigned to higher tasks. Others simply vanished. We were told they'd ascended, that the burden of flesh was no longer necessary for those who fully understood Asahara's truth. We never asked where their bodies went. To ask was to distrust. To distrust was to decay. And no one wanted to be labeled a decayer. One evening, Noriko summoned me to the shrine room, a dim chamber lined with candles and mirrored walls. I stood barefoot on cold stone as Asahara entered, flanked by two silent guards. He didn't look at me at first. He moved slowly, methodically, as if the air itself bent to accommodate him. Then he turned his gaze on me. I froze. It was like staring into the center of a storm, not chaotic, but suffocating in its calm. I wanted to look away. I couldn't. "You've been loyal," he said, voice like oil on water. "Even after witnessing death, you remained." I nodded. "Faith requires it." He smiled, and it felt like being seen by something ancient. "No," he said. "Faith requires pain. You're ready now to carry the chain." I didn't understand until Noriko approached with a box. Inside, a long, thin chain of silver links, each etched with an indecipherable symbol. She placed it in my hands. "You are now a keeper." The role of a keeper wasn't explained. I was simply relocated to a more isolated wing of the compound, closer to the underground tunnels where only whispers echoed. My new job was to oversee chemical storage, inventory, and documentation. But more than that, I was expected to observe the others. "To ensure the chain stays unbroken," Noriko said. That's when I realized I was no longer being tested. I was part of the machinery now. Daisuke avoided me after that. When I passed him in the corridor, he averted his eyes. He had seen the chain around my neck. He understood what it meant. One night, I found him crying behind the meditation hall. "They told me I wasn't ready," he whispered. "They said I still think too much." His hands were shaking. "Haney, no, Hikari, do you ever regret it?" And for the first time in months, I hesitated. "I don't know what regret is anymore," I said. "I think I traded it for obedience." But that night, alone in my new quarters, I felt the weight of the chain dig into my collarbone. Not just physically, but spiritually. I dreamed of the lab again, of the man collapsing. Only this time, it was Daisuke. And I wasn't behind the glass. I was sealing the door shut. The next morning, Asahara announced that the great purification was nearing. "Tokyo is infected," he declared. "Its people are lost in illusion. But we have the antidote." There was applause, cheering, tears. I did not clap. I just touched the chain at my throat and said nothing, because deep down I knew what the antidote was. I had made it, diluted it, measured it, and soon I would help release it.